Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Oh, yes, fellas, here we go. A Monday night doubleheader in week four as we welcome you inside to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Beautiful Tuesday morning in Lower Manhattan. If you're watching us on ESPN News, we're at the South Street Seaport. The Falcons clearly are headed south. They continue to be what they thought they were. They can't win. The Packers and the Chiefs can't lose. Key, they both get it done. Both quarterbacks, everybody had their eyes on them. Mahomes was stifled a little bit in the first half by the Pats. Had enough to win in the second half, mostly because the Pats quarterbacks weren't great. And speaking of great in quarterbacks, boy, Aaron Rodgers, wow, last
night. No, Aaron Rodgers lit it up. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, I still will jump on the table and say if he changed that number to a single digit when he's scrambling around and running, it'll look way different than that 15, even though he likes 15. Aaron Rodgers, man, for all the noise that was made when Jordan Love was selected with the first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers and not a skill position player to help Aaron Rodgers out, I think people could put that to rest now, right? You could probably push that into the closet and close the door. I certainly understand why they were concerned, but you got to go back to last year and look at his numbers, the fact that he got him in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, QBR-wise, it probably wasn't the best of his career. That doesn't mean anything to me. What means something to me is you were 13-3 and you had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You played in the NFC Championship game. The quarterback didn't turn the football over. And then you look at it again this year through four games, over 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns and donut interceptions with glazed donuts. And so you look at that and you have to say to yourself, Aaron Rodgers is playing at an all-time high at an MVP level.
Yeah.
Along with Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Josh Allen to a degree, and still Lamar Jackson is still hovering around there. And if Dak Prescott was winning games, he would be in that conversation as well. The relationship with Matt LaFleur obviously has gotten better from the beginning of last season. If you remember when they won that game, the praise was given to the defensive coordinator, and Matt LaFleur was standing there looking for a hug, and Aaron Rodgers was over there with the defensive coordinator. They've come a long – you remember that?
They've come
a long ways away from that now. And that is a beauty to see. He's comfortable with the offense. He kind of understands. They understand each other. The grins and the smiles are happening, and it's not the Aaron Rodgers of last year.
It just feels like, and I'm not saying he is this player, but when I watch Aaron Rodgers play, it reminds me a little bit of LeBron James. LeBron James got Matthew Dellavedova paid a lot of money. He got Boobie Gibson paid a lot of money. I can take you through a list of players that got paid because they play with LeBron James. And then when I sit here and I think about a guy like the tight end, Robert Tonyan, right? Before the season, two career touchdowns, catches 14 total receptions, right? Last night, he had caught three touchdown passes and six catches for 98 yards, right? He's making normal things look incredible, and he's done that throughout his 4 weeks of playing this season this far.
And you mentioned guys that Lazar all of a sudden. Yeah, but last year I saw Lazar, and I was like, oh, he's cool. He's young. He'll be okay. You know, another undrafted guy.
Alan Lazar,
who's I guess he probably won't play the rest of the season. But
core muscle injury.
He was there, and he was effective. You look at I'm about to call him DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. You look at that. When he's back on the field and he's healthy, that's a weapon, a real weapon that Aaron Rodgers will have. Now imagine what he'll be able to do with that. Now you look at Jones out of the backfield. They discovered that Jones could catch the ball out of the backfield and play a receiver position, Jamal Williams. So they've got a lot of little toys to play with on the offensive side of the ball, and their defense is playing well enough that a guy like Aaron Rodgers could lead them to the Super Bowl. If they can get past the Saints in the playoffs or a Seattle in the playoffs, in Tampa Bay, then they'll be cruise selling.
Mirror class NFC, right? You think it's Seattle and Green Bay?
Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa to a degree as
Tampa
they continue
to a degree, but Tampa's Seattle and Green Bay are at the top.
Seattle, Green Bay. See, I can't discount New Orleans because Michael Thomas is not playing, and they're still kind of winning games and kind of doing what they do.
Right now.
New Orleans changes for me.
Okay. All right, once you add them, but right now, Seattle and Green Bay.
Seattle and Green Bay now.
All right.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including coming up in about 22 minutes from now, Michael Thompson. If you're old enough, you might remember him as a former Laker.
Smooth.
If you're young enough, you might remember him as a guy named Clay's dad. Right? So that's Clay Thompson's father, depending how old you are, or if you're old enough to remember how good he was with the Lakers. He was a two-time NBA champion.
Or even super old, you may know him as a Portland Trailblazer. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You got to way back.
And then if you was even further back, you might know him in Minnesota Golden Gophers when he played in Minnesota as the number one overall pick.
Now you're going out of the demo. We got to keep it in the demo. You know that, right? We got to keep it with the young folks. So Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, again, presented by Progressive Insurance, and Clay's dad will join us.
He still carries around a picture from his playing days when he was young and ripped up and fit. He carries around a picture in his little briefcase. He carries a briefcase, by the way.
I respect
that. That's old school.
That's old school. The briefcase. I mean, I feel like Zubin would carry a briefcase.
Attaché case.
Do you match the sweater color to the scheme, like the seasons?
I try, but mostly it's just dumb luck. Like, this was just laying here this morning.
Beautiful.
I needed to get here at 5 a.m.
Fall, autumn day, October. I love it.
Like I told you, Zubin, once I unpack, I'll be joining you. Sweater key.
Sweater key.
Just a little bit different, though, but sweater key.
Just a tap.
You got the swag with the sweater key. It's getting to that time of year. So when we do Key's real rankings, sometimes it's top six. Sometimes it's top seven. These
arbitrary
are
numbers. Depends on how I feel come Monday.
This is his unique rankings. And this today, Key's feeling especially generous because we're going top nine.
Number nine, Patriots.
I don't have anything to add.
Bill? I got the Pats at number nine. The reason I kept them at number nine, even though they failed to the Chiefs last night, is the way that they played. They kind of played somewhat of what we would call inspired football, despite having Jared Stidham and Hoyer at the quarterback spot and no Cam Newton. When Cam Newton comes back, this team will be much different. It was very apparent last night watching them try and quarterback the team from the 20 to the 20 and couldn't necessarily get them into the end zone. Bill Belichick can't wait. That's why when Mike Reese talked about it earlier on our show, that Cam Newton has to have two negative tests before he could join the team again, they're testing him, trust me, a lot. Number eight, Buccaneers.
Let's go!
That would be Tom Brady screaming. When you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you look at Tom Brady and you look at some of the things that he's been able to do with Mike Evans, despite not having Godwin in the lineup, Fournette was out last week, but Ronald Jones carried the torch at the running back spot. They got Gronkowski involved. That is a recipe for success. The defense of Todd Bowles rediscovering Dominican Sue at the defensive tackle spot. They're going to be in the mix come playoff time, they're certainly going to be in the mix. Number seven, Saints.
From the top, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, eleven, twelve,
Certainly feels like high school football right there with Drew Brees and that chant going on. But New Orleans is still playing good football. Despite having a little bit of a clunker against the Las Vegas Raiders, Drew Brees is back on target. Guys are getting in sync with him. They're starting to dial things up like of old. Once they get Michael Thomas back into the lineup, I think this team will be the sky is the limit for them. And you gotta take your hat off to Sean Payton, understanding to put guys in certain position to make plays on the offensive side of the ball. Allen, the defensive coordinator over there, certainly shored things up, and they've got to continue to keep playing the way that they're playing until they get a full cast back to help Drew Brees. I got them winning the division.
Number six,
Steelers.
I don't think I need to speak much. We've got the trophies out there.
Well, that would be Ben Roethlisberger right there. Pittsburgh is interesting because they're not a sexy team in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, high-flying, octane offense, but they just keep winning football games. Mike Tomlin is one of the top six coaches in the NFL, probably one of the top five. I'm going to put him in the top five in the NFL. Whenever you got a guy like Ben Roethlisberger just winning ugly, playing defense, running the ball, not turning the football over, and winning, it pushes them into the top six.
Number three,
Seahawks.
This is Russell Wilson country. And this...
I think we see that.
Whose bird is that?
That's
Russell Wilson's bird.
We did skip four and five, so you want to mention five is the Ravens.
We had a little bit of production issue there, but five, the Ravens are number five. They dropped down a little bit because I didn't like the way that they played this past weekend. And then at number four, the Buffalo Bills climb all the way up. to the number four spot because I do like the way that they're fighting and they're playing. I like what they've been able to do in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Brandon Beane, the general manager, goes out, trades for Diggs, Minnesota, get that guy some help at the receiver position. But the defense is where it's at. Sean McDermott is a defensive-minded coach. They're solid on defense. I don't worry about them at all. If they can continue to score points on offense and the defense shut people down, they may take over the NFC or the AFC East from the New England Patriots.
And you unveiled Seattle at number three, so let's just go to Seattle real quick.
Seattle's number three, and Russell Wilson's continuing to do what he's doing on the offensive side. That team has shifted to the passing game. It's not relying heavy on the defense like it has in the past two Super Bowl appearances with the Legion of Boom. It's all about Russell Wilson. It's all about throwing the football. It's all about breaking records and numbers. That is why he's in the MVP conversation, and that is why the team is in the league in the NFC West.
Number two.
Packers.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
I think we heard this before. We're hearing it again because when you go back and you look at the offseason, I talked about it. It was a lot of screaming and hollering about what they would do at the receiver position. They didn't have the receivers. They didn't have any skill position players. But all he continues to do is set record pace numbers. Over 1,200 yards in four games, 13 touchdowns, and zero interceptions on a 4-0 football team. They took care of business this past weekend. They took care of business the weekend before that. I continue to look to pass this and say they're going to take care of business again this weekend.
Number one.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I joked about it. I'm going to have a double cheeseburger tonight with extra cheese. That's exciting.
That would be Andy Reid eating a burger again. But when you look at Kansas City, right, they've had two tough games and two matchups this season that I look at. I look at what they did against the Chargers, needing a big comeback in the second half to win that football game in overtime. And I also looked at them struggling against the Cam Newton-less New England Patriots.
Right.
And they still won the game. Right. They didn't. Patrick Mahomes, the MVP, did not have a MVP type game, but they still won. They still took care of business. And this is what championship football teams do. Do I think they're going to go 16-0? No, I don't. I think they're going to drop one or two along the way because it's bound to catch up to them. You can't play like they did against the Chargers, and you can't play like they did last night and think that you're going to continue to win football games.
I had a question for you. Team 6-9, Steelers, Saints, Bucks and Patriots. Mm. How would you rank their upside? Who has the best upside? Patriots, Bucks, Saints, Steelers. Mm.
I believe that it would be the Steelers and the Saints with the best upside. Mm. Those two. When you look at the Steelers, they just are the Steelers. I mean, that's just what they do, right? It's like, count them out. All of a sudden, they make strong runs in the end. The quarterback stays healthy. They find ways to win. The defense isn't going to allow you to score too many points. The offense will, you know, it'll be one of those 23-17 victories. That's how they win. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Saints again. Once Michael Thomas comes back, it adds more firepower to that offense. And their defense is never going to be, no, the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers. That's just not who they are. They bend but don't break. And then the Bucks, you know, the Bucks is a good story because of Tom Brady. O.J. Howard's gone for the year.
That's big.
Fournette's in and out of the lineup right now, banged up. Gronkowski is still Gronkowski to a degree with his size, but is he really giving you all what you thought he was
production
when he was
wise,
in New
England? No.
So you look at that, you go, okay, but you can't count out Tom. Terrific Tom is terrific Tom. Then when you ask me about the Patriots.
Are they still in your AFC championship game?
Which
you
one?
Said that.
The Patriots.
Patriots. You said that a couple weeks ago.
If Cam, his thing changes week to week, if you notice.
That's why I'm asking
Cam
you.
Newton, if he's healthy and he's playing, he presents a lot of problems for you. A whole lot of problems. And with Bill Belichick as the head coach, I mean, think about it. People frown at this whenever you say it. Bill has won with other quarterbacks, just not Super Bowls. I mean individual games.
Sure.
And so when you look at it, you go, okay, can he win enough games to get a top seed, whether it's the number one seed or something close to the number one seed, to now have a home playoff game and go on the road because the weather changes in Foxborough, mm-hmm. as we know, being here in New York. It gets cold. And then you get those teams up there. Even though there's no fans, it doesn't feel good in that weather. just doesn't feel good.
Just sound like a politician right now. It's all the tiptoeing and all the dancing. Just answer the question. Do you have the Pats right now, week four, in your AFC championship game? I don't want to hear about conditions.
I don't know that I have them in the championship game. Okay. Yet. I don't know. Because thank Baltimore you. And Pittsburgh is playing well.
You just lead with, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm explaining to you. This dude here to my left, man.
not playing well. Pats are playing well despite what happened last night. The future looks bright with Cam, who has the one option that Brady never had with mobility. Things not going well with the Houston Texans. So what is next for them is one of the biggest names in all of college football, perhaps on the precipice of thinking about grabbing that job. We'll talk about that after we go from A to Z. A to Z with a little MLB. Soundtrack is back. Marlins and Braves, Padres and Dodgers as the National League Division Series gets underway today. The two AL series won by the Yankees last night and by the Astros yesterday will all resume. So all eight teams key in the mix for the World Series playing today, including your Dodgers. All games on ESPN Radio.
Well, it'll be good because I'll get a chance to see the Lakers and the Dodgers simultaneously at 9:38. The Dodgers will be playing the Padres from Arlington, Texas. And look, all we got to do is continue to play like we're playing. Everyone that comes on our show says that the Dodgers are the best team in Major League Baseball. And if we can stay that way, then we'll bring the chip back to Los Angeles.
Caesars William Hill has them at a 3-1 favorite. That's a heavy, heavy favorite. For the second day, this is great news. Second day in a row, the Titans received no new positive COVID-19 results. Now, according to our Diana Russini, NFL insider, the team's practice facility could open tomorrow. They could be back on the field tomorrow, and that means their game against the Buffalo Bills will be played in Nashville Sunday as scheduled.
And that's huge for the NFL. We're going to have to deal with this for the whole 2020-2021 season, but your ability to have a quick turnaround and, you know, mitigate the risk says everything about the future of how your team can participate, continuing to play in games.
Well said, especially with these rapid testing. Now you don't have to wait 4 or 5 days for results, especially when you're playing games once every 7 days, obviously, right? And lastly, the Texans have fired their head coach and general manager, Bill O'Brien. Some people think his role as general manager might have cost him his job as coach. He did win 4 division titles, went 52-48. Somewhat underwhelming. Player acquisition was questioned. And you didn't need to be around yesterday afternoon when the news broke or be here this morning when we're talking about it. Yesterday on the show, listen to old clairvoyant Key.
They need to move on from Bill O'Brien. They got to make a decision. Either they move on from him as the head coach, or they move on from him as the general manager, because Deshaun Watson, he's the second highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. And they have him out there looking like he forgot how to play football. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all on Bill O'Brien. That's what I would say. If they don't make it to the playoffs this year and make a deep run, they need to just move on from him, because any other coach wouldn't have these opportunities he's getting. I promise you that.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. Maybe they was listening.
So strong.
Maybe they was listening. Maybe he was watching.
Maybe.
He said, you know what? Probably had a little sidebar saying to himself, you know what? We probably should just do it now. Had a little caucus with all the people, and they made a decision to part ways. And the bottom line, it's a bottom line business, dog. You got to win in the National Football League. I understand that Coach O'Brien, Bill O'Brien, won 4 division titles. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's all fine and dandy. I also understand that you gave up the goods in the divisional round of the Kansas City Chiefs last year.
Up 24-0.
24-0.
Right.
Mm. 24-0. It was 21-0. You elected to kick the field goal instead of going for it. If you go for it, you convert, you score a touchdown.
Game over.
Do the math, it's 28-0. My mind on the Kansas City Chiefs side, I'm thinking different. You basically did what the Jacksonville Jaguars did when they played in the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots of mm-hmm. a couple years ago
yep.
when Doug Marrone made a decision not to let Blake Bortles throw the football and cook. You basically handed them the game. You didn't apply the pressure. And when you don't apply the pressure, you lose games. Therefore, you're now not necessarily looking for a job, but you're now out of a job. So I would ask myself this question, does he deserve another opportunity as a head coach in the National Football League? At some point in time, yes, he does. But in the meantime, just go sit tight over there, go do what they do. go come on this show and work with us for a couple
ESPN
years.
ESPN NFL analyst Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, let's let me.
It's not a bad paying gig.
Just you know what I'm saying. Take some time away and see where your mistakes were. So then when you get back in it, you won't have those necessary flaws. Maybe what Bill Belichick did when Cleveland let him go. He became the defensive coordinator once again up in New England for Bill Parcells. Then eventually he became a head coach, and now he's the most successful head coach I've ever seen.
Or sure. Maybe you just become a head coach. It just seems like the
response. You mean
like
an offensive coordinator? Whatever. Oh, you mean as a head coach?
As a head coach. It's just one responsibility. You know, instead of it seeming like all your responsibilities become convoluted because you have too much on your plate. And then I would say this. It wasn't only some of the bad play calling. It's also just the really poor personnel decisions over the years, his two-year stint. I mean, look at the Laremy Tunsil deal. He got paid over market price. Mm-hmm. And I said this 3 weeks ago about DeAndre Hopkins. I was like, look, I don't like that move. And it felt very, very personal for Bill O'Brien. It felt with the way that Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins were clicking last year, it just felt like that was a personal move. It wasn't the right move for the team. It felt like it was the right move because Bill O'Brien felt like I wanted to do it.
It's more about when you go into the personnel stuff, the Laremy Tunsil deal, it's what it is. If you overpaid, you overpaid. But he's a good left tackle to protect a
But then you can't say that you overpaid him, but we didn't have enough money to pay DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, that's
what I'm saying. You can't say that.
We
to the
all
media,
know that
though.
That ain't nothing, though. The Rams, everybody says that the Rams don't have enough money. All they do every week is give a new contract for big money. So I've never been one since I've played in the NFL and out of the NFL that fall into the we don't have money category, because you can give somebody what you want to give them. That is clean and pure as day. We always see it. Oh, we don't have any money. We're right up against the salary cap. And then they go and extend somebody. They can play with the numbers how they need to. I just think that Bill O'Brien got in over his skis. Ain't that what they say?
Over their skis.
Yeah,
over
that's
their
a
skis.
Good one.
Yeah.
So,
never heard that one before.
Yeah, it's one that's like from Zubin's Sports Center days.
Denver reference.
Over his skis.
He got in over his skis, though, right? Yeah. I mean, and from a personnel standpoint. And the personnel got him fired.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Never been skiing.
Shout out to Lindsey Vonn.
Never been skiing. I got a bad knee. I'm not trying to go skiing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, me. Yeah. Right, I'm just trying to go sledding, maybe. Maybe. Or sit next to the fire with a glass.
But I'm surprised that you wouldn't have nice gone cab. Skiing, though.
Sorry, Zubin. Go ahead.
No worries. Fellas, real quick, one option to replace. You're right. Although maybe this next guy can pay it for him because he's got enough money. One guy to possibly replace Bill O'Brien, the most successful college coach going and young enough to do it. Saban tried the NFL. It didn't exactly work. But this dude, according to our Paul Feinbaum, Dabo Swinney, would he ever leave the upstate to go to Texas and coach Houston?
I don't think so. Certainly, Deshaun Watson is Dabo Swinney's one of his most favorite players and the player that really put him on the map. But I just don't think Dabo wants any part of that. And just all you have to do is look at O'Brien's past. I mean, moderate success, and he's gone before we get to the second weekend in October. And Dabo Swinney has one of the greatest jobs in the world. He's making $9 million a year. He lives in a comfortable small town where he is the king. Nothing really is going to change that.
That would be Dabo Swinney. They're saying absolutely not. Remember last year, Clemson could have won its 30th consecutive game after they lost in the championship to LSU. But Paul makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is a fiefdom. You're the king. Why go anywhere?
Well, because here's what I kind of seen in my career as a football guy and been around football is that they all have certain sort of egos, right? And they all kind of want to, on different levels, take the next step, right? I mean, yes, he is in Clemson, South Carolina. He's the toast of the town. He runs the state, the whole deal. But these coaches, when given the opportunity at a large level, they all want to do it, right? They just do. When you go back and you look at, I can go all the way back to USC in the 70s, whether it was McKay that left to take over the Tampa Bay Bucks, whether it was John Robinson that was winning national championships, it took over the Rams. Whether it's Nick Saban, the challenge of doing it, to be able to say, I did it at this level and I did it at that level. Back then, it wasn't like they were throwing so much money at him. Now, you take him, yeah, he makes $9 million, but if Houston, the Texans all of a sudden say, I tell you what, We're going to let you hire your general manager. You got Deshaun, and we're going to give you $14 million, $15 million a year. We're getting ready to set this thing up. That changes, right? I mean, and you got a chance to always go back to college. Right. We see it in basketball where they jump because they all want to do it. It's like, okay, I can win. I've won enough. Two national championships?
2016 and 18.
I've won two national titles. I've won a ton of games. I may want to try this.
Still to come, Michael Thompson, former Laker legend, on what Keys Lakers need to do tonight and how his son Clay's rehab is going. One of the big NBA stories of the offseason. That's on the way.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
It's great to have Michael Thompson join us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you're of age, you might remember Michael as a great player for the Lakers, a two-time NBA champion. And if you're young enough, perhaps you know him as the father of Klay Thompson. We'll discuss Klay's rehab and everything coming up in just a bit. But Michael, good morning. Thanks for joining us. First things first, your Lakers play tonight. We've been talking this morning about Anthony Davis. Can't have another clunker. What's the key for you tonight in game four?
Well, before I do that, I've always hated New York, or disliked New York, Jay Will and Zoo, for two reasons. One, it's cold, and two, too much traffic in the city. And now I have a third reason to dislike New York. New York took Keyshawn away from us here in L.A. Now I have no one to go to for my football knowledge and my life advice.
No, you're all right, White Mike. You good with me. You're all right. How you been, man?
Well, I'm been excited, Key, because right now, Key, you know, you have one championship ring. Eat your hot dog, because I'm getting ready to collect my eighth championship ring.
See, but that's not fair, though. You always try to throw those digs at us. Just answer Zubin's question.
Don't worry about Anthony Davis, man. This man is the second best player in the world. He's going to bounce back strong tonight. Jay Will, you're a basketball player. You've been around greatness. You were a great player yourself. You know when you have an off game, when you're as great as AD is, you're going to make up for that in the next game. So, somebody might be in trouble tonight on Miami's team. I have to deal with him.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, so as it relates to AD, like he is so super talented. What do you see from him as it relates to just why he becomes, I know he's in foul trouble, but why passive? Why not still stay aggressive and get more than 9 shots?
I think subconsciously, Jay Will and Key, you guys been in this situation. You, not so much for you, Zubin, but you guys have been in where you think subconsciously you kind of let down because you think the series or the game is over. So you don't approach the game with the same mentality. There's no excuse for that. So obviously, that's the approach that the Lakers came out with in Game 3. And AD, too, came out too passive. But I think they made a mistake there. They're human. Sometimes that can happen. Subconsciously, you let down because you realize Goran and Bam are not playing. And so I think they let down a little bit mentally, and the Heat took advantage of it.
That's what I've been saying here for the last several days since that happened, is that the Lakers came out 2-0, and they kind of just, coast. And then when they finally realized, uh-oh, these guys are for real and they're playing well, then it was too late to get back in the fold. But let me ask you this question, though, Michael, as you call the games and you're right there with John Ireland on the call. Why is it that guys like KCP and Danny Green can't stay consistent on the long ball?
Yeah, you're right about that. And believe me, these guys are the ultimate professionals. They probably are frustrated, too. And then you figure, boy, these guys are due. They were shooting the ball well against Denver, And then in this series, they haven't found their shot yet, so you keep hoping, well, this next shot will be the one to get them going. That's how you have to think when you're a shooter. These guys have a lot of open opportunities, and they're just not knocking them down, guys. So maybe tonight they'll shoot 40% each from three-point range, because they're going to need to do that to close these guys out over the next two games, because Miami now, I would expect Bam's going to play tonight, and that's going to give them a huge moral lift and even more confidence in this game.
Michael Thompson joining us here on the morning show. Michael Thompson joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Michael, I was going to ask you, you get a chance to spend a lot of time around these guys, see them. I saw LeBron James barking a ton at Jimmy Butler throughout the course of the game. Is that something that's common for LBJ? Because it kind of seemed like that was a little bit uncharacteristic for him. Maybe he was trying to get himself going.
Yeah, I've seen him do it. You know, I saw him play in the finals up close four straight years against the Warriors. And believe me, him and Draymond Green would have some conversations out there. And that's okay. I like that. You want to see that from your leader. You want to see your leader out there showing that kind of fire and that kind of intensity. So I hope LeBron keeps it up. But, yeah, he'll talk to you. You get in his face and you start challenging him. I like that. That's the way it's supposed to be. Can you imagine the way Keyshawn Josh used to talk to defensive backs?
Well, I see it every day with the way he talks to me, Michael. Look, I'm on the morning show from 6 to 10 a.m. Hey, obviously this year is going to play out the way it's going to play out. Lakers are the favorites, obviously. Let's move forward to next year. I think a lot of people forget about how talented your son was. And, you know, I was there at the NBA Finals last year. Even with Kevin Durant not playing, you still felt like between Klay and Steph, they had a legitimate chance to beat Toronto. How much are you giving this team in Golden State to have a chance to win a world championship next year?
They'll be in the mix. Obviously, they won't be the favorite like when they had Kevin Durant, but they will be a championship-caliber team, just like the Lakers, the Nuggets, and the Clippers will probably be the three top teams in the West they're going to have to go through. As long as Klay and Steph come back and be the Splash Brothers, they're going to have the number two pick in the draft. We don't know how they're going to use that, either selecting a young player or using it for trade, and then they've got a lot of money they can go out and get another veteran or two. So they're going to be back in the mix next year as long as they're healthy and they hit the ground running like they did in the past.
Let's stay right there in L.A. for a minute, Michael. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, Doc Rivers was let go. The Clippers have yet to hire a coach. What are they waiting on?
Boy, that's a great ball. Obviously, Ty Lue is one of their top candidates, but Ty is looking at other teams too, and there are some good candidates out there. Not so much the guys who have already been head coaches, but some good qualified assistant coaches out there who are waiting their turn. So they're not in a hurry, because whoever they offer that job to, they're going to be excited to take it, guys, because that is a top-level job, and the Clippers aren't going anywhere. They're going to be right back in the mix next year as long as they have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Michael, one last question for you. Who will be the best duo in the 2021-2022 season? LeBron James, AD, well, Steph Clay, Kevin Durant, Kai?
It's still going to be LeBron and AD, because we still got to see how Clay and Steph are going to be, but I believe they both will be fully healthy. We still got to see if Kevin Durant's going to come back and be Kevin Durant after his devastating injury, and we're hoping that he is. So based on what we know right now, it's still going to be AD and LeBron.
All right, man, go back to that Butler and the champagne and that beachfront property you're on.
Hey, Mike, real quick, I know Key's always giving you some. Real quick, just for the fans wondering, how is your son's rehab going?
Well, he's doing great. He was in Warrior Camp. They call it the double last week. He was there and doing everything. He's dunking, he's shooting better than ever. He's moving laterally, he's playing defense. So according to the reports and talking to Clay, he's feeling great. And by the time the season starts up, man, he'll be ready.
You want to send him away, Key?
No, I was just telling him he can go back to that beachfront property with those cashews and that champagne that he drinks every single morning.
Got to invite us over for some champagne, man.
Overlooking the Pacific Ocean. I know what you're doing with that elevator. I get it.
Yes, the butler's waiting to bring my caviar on a bagel as we wait.
He's right. Yeah. Again, that's why his Twitter feed is champagne and nuts, apparently.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Exactly.
Michael, thanks for joining us this morning. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
Same here. Great perspective, obviously.
Champagne
Clay.
And nuts. I love it. What
Game
a great
six.
Twitter handle.
It is a great Twitter handle. Champagne and nuts with just the N. But Clay tearing the ACL, game six. Finals, you were there. It's been a long time since we've seen him, but apparently it's going to be worth the wait. He says his son is ready to go.
Look, Kawhi Leonard is a very, very special player, one of the best two-way players we have in the game. But, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I think a lot of people forget about how special of a talent Klay Thompson is. I mean, whether it be him rattling off 40-plus points, him locking down the other team's best player, He is a multi-two player, and they're going to be scary. Curious to see what they're going to do with that second pick, if they're going to package it up, maybe with Andrew Wiggins or something like that, to get another vet. We'll see.
My second team in California, the Warriors.
That's a good backup plan, that's for sure. Still to come, we've got an update on Cam Newton testing his availability for Sunday against Denver after missing last night. What's the very latest on the Pats quarterback?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We've been talking about Cam all morning, right? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here, presented by Progressive Insurance. This coming courtesy of our Dan Graziano. He was asymptomatic, Cam was, on Monday, a source confirming to ESPN. That means he could be cleared to return in 5 days if his first positive test came back the way they needed to. And he doesn't exhibit any symptoms. So two negative tests in 24 hours apart. Within those 5 days, he's cleared by the team doctor. That's just a long way of saying if everything goes the right way, the tests come back negative.
Sunday.
Yep, he could be back to practice Thursday and play on Sunday. So it's certainly a possibility. Remember, he tested positive about 4 days ago, didn't play last night. As you know, Sunday, to Jay's point, they play the Broncos, short week for them. So,
but he also had no symptoms, right? He had no symptoms.
Asymptomatic. Totally asymptomatic. Okay. So if the tests come back and he can do it 24 hours apart, the two tests, he could be back on the practice field in 2 days. And to Jay's point, could be on the field Sunday against
Denver. So when do they start the test, though? Because he tested positive 5 days ago, right?
Yeah. His first positive test, excuse me, he could be cleared to return in 5 days since his first test if he doesn't exhibit any more symptoms. So we're still touch and go there. But
he
early
never exhibited
signs are
any
good.
Symptoms, though, right?
Correct. He is asymptomatic. He said he is asymptomatic, but there's still more testing to come. But if everything runs the way it should, he could be back on the practice field by Thursday and then be on the field Sunday. So this Hoyer-Stidham experiment could maybe just be a one-shot
deal. Well, it's good in both ways. It's good for his health, but it's also good for the New England Patriots. They don't have to worry about Hoyer-Stidham right now, right? They could just insert Cam back into the lineup and ready to go on Thursday. I mean, ready to go on Sunday.
It's just so crazy how this is so touch and go. Like, depending upon like all these new protocols, it's like, you know, Reid Hoffman, who's the founder of LinkedIn, would always say this for entrepreneurs. Sometimes you have to assemble the plane after you've already jumped off the cliff. And that's essentially what we're watching the NFL do, is they come up with all these new COVID protocols and what the violations are and figuring it out on the fly. Just so many moving parts. Everything happens so fast.
No doubt about it. Also this morning, we were asking you, after you watched the Chiefs and the Packers last night, both go to 4-0, both relatively easy wins. Obviously, New England put up a fight there in the first half. Atlanta yet to win a game, but Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes steering clear, doing a great job. They feel like they're the favorites to meet in Super Bowl 55. Clearly, Seattle, if you're listening this morning, we hear you out there. Tampa, if you're out there this morning, we hear you. But just based upon the way those two guys looked last night, it's certainly not out of the question. So we asked Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on Twitter, who you're more confident in to make the Super Bowl just after last night's games. We're not mentioning Seattle or Tampa here, just because these two played last night, the Chiefs or the Packers. The 100% of the precincts are now reporting. That's a very dangerous thing to say, though, I think, right? If you were there, 74% of you have said the Chiefs, including GCU. H. Wood, who just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Thanks for your tweet. Quote, the Pack have played teams with a combined 4-12 record. They have yet to play anyone with a winning record. They might very well make it, but I want to see games against winning teams first. That's not a bad point.
Well, those four of those losses out of that 12 will come against the Packers. So I know that argument. You can say the same thing, I'm sure, about Kansas City when you look at their records. You know, it's like, oh, they played a team that's combined such and such and such. You do just it any way you want to.
All you're saying is that Green Bay has played the Vikings. We've been through this in the first hour. The Vikings are 1-3. Yeah. The Lions, yeah. The Saints, okay. And then the Falcons.
Again,
yeah.
I'll say this again.
I know you have the eye test.
I'm not saying they're not that.
I'm not saying they're not that. That's a valid point that he says. Of just seeing them against more quality competition, not saying they can't win those games, but sometimes people need to see it before they can believe it.
I know the opponents, and I look at it, and I say they look good, and they're probably going to be right there in the end. Kansas City's going to be there in the end, and so is Green Bay. But Kansas City has yet to – they played Baltimore and a Hoyer-Stenham team.
And they could have lost to the Chargers.
And they could have lost to the Chargers with a rookie quarterback that didn't know he was starting until 10 minutes before the game.
They didn't.
I hate when people say that. It's like, well, oh, you guys were 23-9 back when you played at your college, but you guys could have lost 4 or 5 games. But we didn't. We didn't. We won the game. We found a way to win. Not every game is going to be, as Keyshawn would say, clean. Right? Not every game is going to be sharp.
But your ability to win when it's ugly, that's different. But when you're sharp like Aaron Rodgers and you clean like Aaron Rodgers and you spit the ball out like Aaron Rodgers, it just looks different no matter who you're playing. If you're doing what you're doing against those bums, you're probably going to do the same thing against the elite teams. That's just because that's just who he is. Kansas City's – look, man, nobody's taking anything away from Kansas City at all. But much like you said, there's other teams that's out there too.
Seattle and Tampa. Those are just two.
In Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and New Orleans. Pittsburgh. You think? Well, Baltimore, they already took care of business with them. But I'm just saying, you look at those teams, and it's like in Baltimore saying, okay, let us get a second bite at the apple. I remember when we went on to win the Super Bowl, and people in Philly was talking crazy and reckless. Oh, they sent their equipment truck advance to San Diego at the time. They had to turn around when they was in there, I think, either New Mexico or Arizona. They had to turn around because we beat them. They had already felt, oh, yeah, we take care of them because 75% of the people said this. That's all I'm saying.
Don't rule out a healthy 49ers. I wouldn't rule them out of a healthy 49ers.
Well, they ain't going to be healthy for a while.
I was going to say this, Zubin. Look at Green Bay's schedule real quick. At Bucks this week and coming up, okay, then the Texans, then the Vikings, then the 49ers, then the Jags. Colts, okay. Then the Bears, Eagles, Lions, Panthers again.
Come here, man. We get ready to get out of here, right?
Yeah.
Come here, man. Let me swab that nose.
Come on, man.
You guys are
they need to take this Q-tip and swab that nose. This will fit right up them nostrils.
Tomorrow, Juju, Manny Diaz, and Ole Miss's Lane Kiffin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.